turn to the person in front of you and say, God so loves you.
If you haven't already turned there, the love chapter is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I get the honor of reading all 13 verses. My mouth is faster. I have to stop and make my lips. God's word says, "Though I seek with the tongues of men and of angels, I have not charity. I am become as sounding as or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that perfect is come, then that which is in part shall not be. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. For those that don't realize that charity is the same as love. Mm. It's the same word. I read the devotion like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it kind of caught my attention. The pathologist simply said, God is loving you this moment. So really, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We rejoice in it. And we pray you back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir, Mr. Mills. Thank you for being here today. May God richly bless you. And I pray that you will experience and know that God is loving you today. Okay? I mean, I want your face to show it. You know, God's loving you. All right. God is love.
For those of you who are younger, you all know, so I have to explain. Back in the olden days, we used to write notes at school. This is way before text or IM. We used to write notes, and on those notes, we would write something like, we admired someone. We'd write a note, and we'd be with a pencil. And sometimes it would even be encouragement, sometimes it would be printed, depending on it. But you would write it, and you'd say things like, I love you. Do you love me? Check the box, yes or no. And for those desperate, there's another one out there, maybe. by way of text or I remember Facebook or anything else, they were sending it by their BF, their best friend. And that was the texter that sent it by that way. And you'd anticipate waiting for it to get back there. You'd get all like sweaty and stuff. And you'd see him coming. And he or she read that and go, oh man, don't even give it to me. No. But even if it was checked, yes, it was checked, yes, and that little piece of paper said, yes, I do love you too. And even now, if they text you back and they go, yes, I love you too, or they I am you, whatever, however it is they get the message to say, I love you too. You're just so overjoyed and overthrilled, aren't you? And then after you get into that relationship and you know each other a little bit, there's this thing that comes upon you that's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's that thing that says, they really love me. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not sure if I can 100% trust them. They really love me. Are they cheating on me? I saw them talking to somebody. I saw them texting somebody. Do they really love me? Do they love me for who I am, or do they love me for what I offer, or what I can get them, or what I give them? After all, I did give them $100 just to check yes. I don't know if it's because of that. Do they really love me? Do they 100% trust them? And sometimes as you go through that process, you get hurt. Do you not? How many have ever been hurt? Okay, at least I'm not in the same, just standing here by myself. You get hurt. What do? You put up a wall. And you go, I don't know if I'm going to step out into that again. Then all of a sudden, here you go. Do you love me? I love you. Check box. Yes, maybe. I'm concerning it. And you go back in. And you go through this process of, do I really confident? Do you love me? Oh, I've got good news for you today. And I don't know if you've thought about this in a long time, but I want you to think about it this morning. You can 100% totally be in confidence and trust that God loves you. Man, that's awesome. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to doubt. I am perfectly confident that God loves me and He loves you. And He does. He doesn't just love you for what you do or what you get. He doesn't love you any less. He doesn't love you any more. He loves you because God is love. We should make every day a masterpiece spent with the first part of your day with the one who loves you the most, loves you more than anyone else. I mean, don't be like the one husband. You know, they've been married for a long time. And the wife looked at him and said, honey, he said, you don't never do you love me. He said, I told you once. If that ever changed, I'd just tell you. That's not the way. God so loves us and we love Him. And we want to spend time with Him. You remember back when you just fell over in love and your hands are sweating, your mouth, Glenn, felt like you've been chewing on a sock, and you just couldn't speak words, and you're just so in love. It isn't like you want to go, well, we'll go out again in another year. No, you want to spend every moment. You remember those times that you were on the phone and you run out of things to say and you just listen to each other breathe. Oh, come on.
then the reality, you know, God just so loves you. And we should spend time with Him and desire to spend time with Him. Reading His text, carrying out His plan for the day, because He has the perfect plan for you every day. And yes, we've been talking about God is. God is going to judge. God is faithful and just. God is our only hope. That's what we've been looking at. And yes, God is gracious. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is righteous. And God is holy. God is merciful and God is marvelous. But I want you to know this. God is love. The greatest and what sets Him apart from all others is that God is love. I want you to listen to these lyrics. God is love. Higher than the mountains that I face. Stronger than the power of the grave. Constant through the trial and the change. This one thing does remain. God's love never fails. It never gives up. And it never runs out on me. And it never runs out on you. Is that good news to you? On and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be afraid, because this one thing remains. In death and in life, I am confident and covered by the power of His great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from God's great love. This one thing remains. His love, God's love, never fails. And it never gives up. And it never runs out on me. And it never runs out on you. Do you like that? Do you agree with that? If you're not sure about that, I want you to know 100% sure and confidence this morning that it does just that. It never gives up on you. And it never, ever runs out. But if you know that and experience that and live that out, there's a lot of people who don't know that. There's a lot of people who need to know that and understand that. Franklin Graham says that today 4.5 billion people are living without hope that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and knowing His love. But when we think of these people as one big number, and that's a big number, 4.5 billion, that could be like faceless people in the crowd. It's easy to overlook. But each one of them is an individual. Each one of them is an individual who hurts and who has longings and sufferings. Each one of them has desires that's probably been shattered before. Each one of them is a soul. And each one of them is a heart that matters and is precious to God. So precious that He sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for them, to say how much He loves them. Tennessee, supposedly the Bible Belt. We are number 10 in the United States in church attendance. We're 10th in church attendance. Church attendance in Tennessee is 40% of those who say they're Christians. Many people look to the internet for answers for their deepest longings and sufferings and hurts. Google sees more than 4 million queries in search for one word, hope. People are searching. So many people believe they are worthless and they turn to all kinds of things to suppress that feeling, that emptiness, with all kinds of addictions that they find only gets them deeper in, and it doesn't help them at all. Our state and our community has so many people who struggle with depression and those who try to commit suicide, and a lot of those who succeed in committing suicide every year. But the good news of this is, and we have it and we need to share it, that there is hope. This love is available. We need to share it. We need to be excited about it. You don't just go out and tell people, well, you have love available. It's available. I mean, you have hope. Really? I'm not convincing with that.
Man, you don't have to stay the way you are. There is hope that God offers you that He can take anything and change your life totally around and use it for His glory. Because He loves you and has a plan for you. And He'll never give up on you. And His love never fails. Because it suffers long, doesn't envy. None of those things that Glenn just read about. It doesn't puff. It is exactly God and God's love. Thousands and thousands of people slip into eternity every year. And the majority of them are not prepared to stand before God. That's sad. God is love. Excuse me. It is not just what He does, but it is who He is. Let me say that again because I want you to register that in your minds. God is love, but it's not just what He does. It's who He is. I want to read John 3:16. And as I read this, I want you to put your name in this place. For God so loved your name, whatever your name is, that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you put your name right there, believes in Him, that you should not perish, but you will have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God loves you with an infinite, unimaginable love. And you can bank on that. There's a lot of things in this world that you cannot be confident in or 100% sure about. But that's one thing that you can bank on. That is for sure. And that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's going on in your life, you can be assured that God so loves you. His love is not comparable to anyone or anything that this world has to offer. And if that's the case, if that be true, where should you put your energy on? Where should you spend your time with and your energy with and your resources with? The world or with God? You ever hear people say this? I don't really love that person. Y'all ever hear that out? You even hear somebody say, I don't know, but I sure do have a hard time loving that person. And it's come out of somebody's mouth. That might be a leader in the church or might be someone who goes to church every week. And you're going, really? Really? I can't believe they said that. One, you need to know God because God is love. Or one, you need to come clean before God and spend more time with God. If you have an attitude and a personality like that, that you have a hard time loving, one of those things needs to happen. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Let's take a look at this verse just real quick. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7, starting there. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. God is love. God living in us, manifested out through us, that love toward others. You cannot share something that you don't possess. You have to possess God's love before you can share God's love. Our lives pass by very fast, and we can't slow it down. But we can live life loving God and loving others. God loves us, and we can love others, and we can share love with others, because if He lives in us, we can share that with others. You see, real change begins when we begin to examine our own hearts before an Almighty God. When we're asking Him to reveal anything in us that is not right or pleasing, then confess and ask forgiveness. I'm going to ask our instrumentalists to come and play. To begin to play "Just As I Am" without one plea. Because that's exactly where we stand. Without one plea. But because of His great love that He shed for you and me, He accepts us just as we are. And He loves us and desires so much more for us that we're not experiencing. That we need to experience more of His love and to share more of His love. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just to bow your head and close your eyes while they begin to play. You know the words to this song. And I know that it resonates in your heart. And I want you to listen. Do you love God more than anything or anyone else? Do you love God more than anyone or anything else? This altar is open for you to come and to pray right now. If you need to make a decision, you can come. Because to answer that determines how you will live out each day. God says to you this morning, "I love you. Do you love me?" God is speaking to you this morning. He says, "I love you. Do you love me?" Listen closely, because God is saying to you right now, "Oh yes. Oh yes, I do love you. I know there's things that needs to straighten up. I know there's things that you need to do, some things that you shouldn't be doing. But I still love you. If you just come to me and talk to me and listen to me, I'll show you some things. I so love you. Just as you are. Would you come?" Almighty God, as we extend this invitation and you extend your love, may our hearts be receptive and responsive to you as you're drawing us this morning. Maybe it's to salvation. Maybe it's to that free gift of forgiveness in a life with you. Maybe this morning, God, that it's to renew their love with you. There's things that's been going on and they just need to renew their hearts to you and say, "I do love you, Lord. I do need you. I need your help on some things. Lord, I don't know what your desire is, but I know you have a desire to move on our hearts this morning, each one of us. And I know that you're speaking right now. Let us exhibit our love towards you. In Jesus' name, and I pray. Amen." Would you stand, please, as we extend this invitation?
Just as I am.
In October 1969, they sang that song in the morning service. The power of God was convicting my heart that I needed to ask forgiveness of my sins and I needed to give my heart to Jesus. Went back to church that night. Think of that. I went back on a PM service. Went to church that night. They played that same song for the invitation. And I gripped that little round thing up there, back of the pew. The first service, I gripped it. That night service, I gripped it. We got home. I lay down in my bed and I began to think bad thoughts. Lord, if this house drops and my bed falls through the ground and I die, I'm not ready to stand before you. As yet, I thought all kinds of things. I couldn't take it anymore. I got up out of my bed, went to the living room, knelt down in the middle of our living room, and I said, God, I know I messed up and I'm not nowhere near your standard. And I need to ask you to forgive me. I need you to come into my heart and be my Lord in life. And I want to give my heart to you, Lord. I want to be saved. I could not wait to that next Sunday came. Being a shy, backward introvert, I didn't like to stand in front of people. And even that morning, that next Sunday morning when they gave the invitation, I stood there in the pew. This time I refused to grab a hold of the back of the pew. I stood there and I was like, Lord, yes, I know I need to proclaim you in front of other people and I don't want to be ashamed of you. And I know I'm just a kid, but I do want to tell others that I've accepted you as my Savior. And so I took the risk and I stepped out. Nobody in my experience, I haven't got over it. That first step that I put out, I felt like was mine. But the rest of that way to make my way to the altar was not mine alone. It was Him with me. That first step I had difficulty with. The rest of those steps to get to that altar, I had no problem with. I was a boo-hoo, and I had no problem getting to the altar and telling Him I accepted Christ as my Savior. Once we step, He's there. So if you struggle with that, I don't know why the Lord placed that on my heart this morning. We sing, Just As I Am. Haven't got over it. Pray I never do. I know He loves you. I know He can change your life and heart. Just got to let Him. Just got to step and let Him. May God richly bless you. Wait for a phone call at 3 or 4 o'clock this evening, I guess. I told some of the ones earlier, it's like political polls. Weather forecasts are all the same. You might as well just say, I don't know. I don't know who's ahead. I don't know who's going to win. I don't know if it's going to snow. I know I got several people in here praying, and I pray we get to 9 inches. We got another crowd in here that's mixed in among us. It's going, I pray it don't snow at all. But we got a God in heaven that knows exactly what's going on. I praise God for that. He's in charge. Tonight, if the Lord willing, a 6 o'clock service. The Lord gave me a message to share. First, for me to work out. It's called Beauty and the Beast. Someone came up to Karen and I here recently. They asked a question. They said, how did you get such a beautiful wife? I said, why in the world did she choose you? I said, well, When we first met, she didn't wear glasses. So tonight I want to talk about Beauty and the Beast. God can change anything. Thank you for being here. I pray you're safely at home this evening. And if we don't have church tonight, you don't get to watch a Super Bowl. So we have church. Come on home. Pray that you'll be blessed. Brother Willie Arnold, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?